yeah, most people aren't doing things about these injustices, and you could go on, we would call them pity parties, where people all stand around and complain about this injustice and that injustice, and it is important to know it. It is important to speak out about it. But what do you do about it? This is what I hear everywhere. People are wondering, what do we do? People who want to do, they don't know. There's no shepherd. But there is a shepherd. He was Christ. He was telling us. But we haven't been told what he was actually doing. He was actually a king. You know, it's not this Good Samaritan concept. How many people are gathering together to take care of that widow and orphan? Who's taking care of them? Who's supplying the money? We don't even have an avenue to do that. I'll bet you if you went to their church and you say, oh, Pastor, are you taking care of them? He'll say, well, no, they should go on welfare. Well, why should they go on welfare? Why don't they go to church? That's what the early church did. The early church, you read it, Justin's apology to the emperor of Rome. He says, we gather together, and those that have share with those that don't have. Now, why is he writing the emperor of Rome and telling him that? Because Christians were in trouble because they were idiotists, non-participators in the system of social welfare in Rome, because the system of social welfare in Rome operated by money that was collected into their temples at the point of a sword. It was a tax. It was a compelled offering. It was not a free will offering. And Christ said it was to be a free will. He told you how a good government operates. How much do you owe in taxes? Peter would say to the people who were Christians. They were in the temple daily. That's where you collect the taxes. And the apostles are saying, how much do you owe? And they say, well, I owe this much. Well, how much can you pay? I can only pay this much. Paid in full. Jesus has a whole parable about that. He's talking about government. The Bible is about government. It mentions religion five times, four times in a bad sense. The religion of the Pharisee. What was the religion of the Pharisee? We force you to pay into the treasury. And we tell you how much. And if you don't, we arrest you. And Jesus said, no. If you do that, you know what will happen to your society? You will have people that will close the door, who will complain about stuff and do nothing about it. There'll be people raped in your streets and nobody will do anything. They'll shut their windows, they'll shut their doors, and they'll say, that's not my business. Because it hasn't been their business. We are creating a society there where there is no hue and cry at injustice.
Creating?
Well, we are, I agree. I'm being nice.
No, I know.
I'm a nice guy.
I remember hearing about the person laying there bleeding in New York City and everybody walks over. Yeah.
Stepping over them.
Now you don't have to go to New York City. You go to rural America.
Right.
Every day.
There was a fire come through our valley. It burned the forest all over there. The neighbors got together and they put fire lines around. There were neighbors standing between the flames when the deck behind them was smoking. The windows broke. That we backed off when the windows were breaking. But the house didn't burn up. The Forest Service, who was the ones who were supposed to be putting out the fire, had the police come down there and threatened to arrest. One cop was sent over by the Forest Service to pick on one of the ranchers there. Actually, a couple of them were there. And one of the bigger ones, I won't say what his name is in case this ever gets out, but I don't think he'd care. But he walked up to the cop after the cop said, you know, you're not supposed to be doing this. And he walked up to the cop and he stood in front of him and he was about this high over the cop. And he says, so what are you going to do about it? You want to arrest me? Go ahead and arrest me. Arrest me for saving my neighbor's house. I mean, they actually came and they wanted to evacuate me. And I said, I'm not going anywhere. And I said, I'm going to be right here. My house is the safest place in all the valley because I'm completely surrounded by green and I'm way away from the forest. And I have underground tanks that supply water even when the power was out, which was already out by then. And he says, well, you have to evacuate, we say. And I says, no, I don't. I don't have to evacuate. Besides, every fire truck that's in the valley has asked to park in my field if the fire blows up. And if you evacuate me, who's going to bring them coffee?
Donuts.
You're going to be answerable to those firemen. I'm going to tell them I couldn't bring you coffee because he made me evacuate. And he walked away. I was actually being a little bit funnier about it at the time. But anyway, the point is that we're not used to doing that. We used to be Minutemen for each other. This is what made this country great. We came to each other's aid. We were there for each other. And the only way to do that is to create a network where you know who each other is. And most of the people out there don't want to be a part of this network. They're not awake yet. They don't understand this contractual nature of government. They're not thinking outside the box. Some of you are thinking outside the box. Some of you got your head way out of the box. Some of you are climbing over the edge. Most of those people don't even know there's a box. That legal box, that plastic bag, it's a see-through plastic bag, and they look out and we're free.
Fish in the water.
But they never try to swim beyond the bag. Because they're comfortable. 5% of the Roman Empire was Christian. At the most. 5%. Yet it had such a profound effect that Constantine wanted to emulate Christianity 300 years later. I tell you, it's like Gideon's army. If we will do it, it doesn't matter the numbers. And besides that, these people will wake up, some of them. There will be foolish virgins. You know, I mean, Jesus is a loving God, but yet he talks about the foolish virgins knocking on the door and they not opening up. But the fact is, you know, if they will change and they will wake up, great. People are waking up. This is the good news. I mean, I had goose pimples in Texas. And I don't get goose pimples very often. That's not that kind. But, I mean, these people are waking up. They're saying all the time, this is speaking to me. I don't know how many times I've heard on this trip, I have been waiting for this all my life. Now, I don't know if it's true. I don't know how much is written on their heart. I don't know. I know what I have to do. I have to go around and tell people. I have to link people up. And then, but you have to build it. If we get notoriety, we get this message out on a big radio station or in big media, people are going to be calling up and saying, how do I find other people? I'm not going to put everybody's name on the internet. I'm not going to create a register. That's not the way a network works. Christianity was cell groups. You say that, suddenly everybody gets excited. But it was this network. That's the way it works.
That was cell groups, not cell mates, right?
Well, there were a few cell mates. I mean, Christ went to jail. Peter went to jail. But it's intimate brotherhoods. It's families within families within families. You know, that's why that's what it is. It's government imitates families. Pilate saith unto him, what is the truth? This will be kind of interesting. My kingdom is not of this world. You're going to hear this all the time. My kingdom is not of this world. What world was Jesus talking about? The planet?
The legal world.
Cosmos. Who said that? Is that you?
Yeah.
Did you get that from reading my stuff? You do that on your own?
No, I don't know.
Okay. Was it this world?
No.
Was it this world?
No.
Was it that world?
No.
Okay. 4 to 5 different words in the Bible that are translated into world. One is aeon, means age, broken, unbroken age. The other one is ekomene, and they had different meanings over a period of time. Originally in the Greeks, it meant the Greeks, where they lived. The Romans, when they started using it, it's where they lived. On one side of the wall were the Romans, the other side were the barbarians. The barbarians weren't in ekomene. That's the way they used the word. But that wasn't the word either. But gay was another word, land, as opposed to water, dry land. But the word was cosmos, as he said. Cosmos, at the time, it meant the discipline of an army and next, the order constitution of a state. Right out of the concordance, it meant an apt and harmonious arrangement or constitution, order, or government. Pontius Pilate was sitting in the judgment seat. He was sitting in the judgment seat because that's why Rome was invited there as a peacekeeping force to determine who was the king. There had been no king in Jerusalem since Herod had died. And he had murdered his own son, executed his own son by permission of Rome because his son tried to usurp authority. The rest of the kingdom was in the hands of of Herod Antipas, and the other third was in the hands of Philip, but nobody in that kingdom, part of the kingdom where Jerusalem was. They're still fighting over who runs Jerusalem. I mean, you talk about history. Libya, why was Rome in the area to come to Judea? Because of the dang pirates in Libya. Why did the halls of Montezuma, the shores of Tripoli, because of the pirates in Libya? Why did Reagan send troops over there? Because of the pirates in Libya. There's pirates in Libya. Get used to it. Forget about going over there. But they're going over there. They're actually going over there because it's one of the largest aquifers in that area of the world. And water is going to be one of the most important things coming up. I don't know how many people know where the other largest aquifer, the largest aquifer in the world is, and who's buying up all the land over there.
Bush.
Yeah. Mooney's. Yeah. They're all, it's one of the largest. Water is going to become a very important thing. It was the last time we had a plague when we were in Egypt. It's going to be a very important thing now. If you lose power in this country, all power in this country, is there anything that could make you lose all power worldwide, at least on one whole side of the planet, in a minute? EMP? You know, who can make the biggest EMP in the world?
The sun.
The sun. Right now, NASA, National Academy of Sciences, Kaku, all kind, who's a major physicist, and there's physicists all over. I've been saying it for a dozen years. See, mega flare hit this planet, which is likely to happen in the next 3 years over any other time in the last 50 years because of standard things that happen on a regular basis, and shift happens. You will lose power. 80 to 90% of all power in the United States, and it's not coming back for 6 months to a year. You have to replace the generators. They melt down into balls of copper. We don't make those generators anymore. Who makes the generators?
China.
Do they make them way ahead and have them all stockpiled on shelves? They make them to order. How long does it take to make a generator? 6 months.
And you got to ship it.
And if there's no power in China, they ain't making it.
Do they only burn out when they're running?
You could actually shield them and disconnect them, and they could survive. But if they're hooked up to the wires, the charge becomes so great in the backlog that it will just melt them down. But you would have to know, and the fact is they'll know when the CME comes. It takes 24 hours, 48 hours to get here. A CME caused the Japanese earthquake. We told people about it the day before. We have videos up on the net saying there's expected a big earthquake in Japan based on looking at the sun alone. I have the videos here I can show you. They're already loaded up on YouTube ahead of time. I talked to people on the phone. We know people in Japan. They had 6 months of stuff stacked up underneath their beds and everything else. And they were on the other side of Japan. Japan's three plates coming together. That's why there is a Japan. They're all crashing into each other right there. Japan's going to see nothing but earthquakes here. But we're getting into the scary stuff. Yeah, well, there's going to be some of that, too. They went down quite a bit.
Yeah, 8 foot in one area.
Yeah. 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 Okay. What would happen if Florida went down 8 feet?
Better have a snorkel. It doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad thing.
The thing is, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son that they might be saved. We have to have the same attitude. But we're not here to save everybody who wants to be a drug addict, a lazy bum. But we want to save those that hear His voice. You know, and I believe I'm saying what Christ said. I believe I'm saying what the prophet said. And I could be totally delusional, and you should probably all edge for the door. But if you hear what I say and it rings in your heart, then you got to get together. The important thing is not that you know me, that you know each other. And that you find all the other people out there that will hear this message and begin to come. And there's also the extended network. There are people that Christ says, come into the kingdom. He says, why us? They don't know they're Christians. They don't know they believe in Jesus. They didn't profess Jesus. They're saying, why us? That's what it says. They wouldn't say that if they thought they were saved. But He says, come into the kingdom anyway. And He says, why? Because you helped the least of my brethren. You gave me drink when I was thirsty. And that may be a big thing. You gave me clothes when I was hungry, and you visited me when I was in jail. So that tells you that his brethren might end up in jail from time to time. Yeah, because they don't like you when you point out that they're in error. They don't like that. They didn't like it when Jesus did it. They're not going to like it when we did it. But I'm not interested in pointing out people who are in error. I'm interested in people who want to do the right thing. And we've been led away, slowly edging away from the right thing. So now good men are going to jail because they stood up for what's right. And people are going in their house and saying, that's a shame. What's on TV? That's not enough. It's got to be, that's a shame. Let's do something about it. Let's get together with this community. Let's find out what... We had a snowstorm go through the Midwest and our little tiny network. We'd only been networking for a year. And our little tiny network, they were calling everybody that was in the network. How'd you do during the storm? They were all okay. We had the floods in Australia. They called everybody that was in the network in the flooded area. They were all okay. Dry land, plenty of food, plenty of water. They were all ready. They were actually looking around for people they could help. And they says, well, we couldn't help anybody. They called up. They were ready. You'll get your chance. Trust me. Anyway, we already talked about religion. Five words in translated religion and pure religion is undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit. And that visit means to take care of. Doesn't just say stop by and say hi. The fatherless, meaning fatherless, those people who their family is so injured that they don't have anybody to take care of them. The widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. What world? Again, which world? Aeon, Ekumene. It's that constitutional order or system of government, because he won't apply to Rome for medical care. Universal health care in Rome. It wasn't universal at the time that was said, but it was shortly after it was. But they had a health care system. You know, that sign that was on the top, that was of the cross, this is what was written on it. You always see, they show you a crucifix and they got, you know, a couple of letters on there. And it's always a broken board up there. And I think that is such a travesty, because they have known for years, it says right in the Bible, it said in three lines, this is the King of Judea. It was written by the procurator of Rome. It was an official document. He's the king. These are his servants. This is a government. Pentecost is when you elected all your government servants in Judea. I was telling you, the string whip, they fired the money changers on tax day. They were expected to collect by 1982 value of silver. They would have brought in $76 million in silver. By today's standard, that would be more than double, probably triple that. Their cut would have been $9 million in 1982 dollars. And Jesus just fired them. They're not going to get that unless they get rid of this Jesus guy, who's standing in the gastophone. In the Greek, it says gastophone. That's in the treasury, instructing the ministers. He's the king. Only the king could do that. Only the king could fire the money changers. Somehow or other, we think he's an itinerant preacher going around in sandals just giving people good ideas. He's the king of the kingdom of God on earth, and he's taking the kingdom away from guys who had turned it into forced contributions, moved away from free will offerings, was no longer bearing fruit, and saying, I'm going to give it to a group that's going to bear fruit. That's one of the things they said first off, is this man spoke with authority. He's the king. But he did have lots of supporters. I mean, they hailed him. The people were crying out. They wanted the people to stop doing it. But so what did they have to do? They have to just kind of sneak around with subterfuge. Pilate was on Jesus' side. He never thought that they would pick Jesus Barabbas to let go. He thought for sure they'd want to crucify him, but follow the money. They were more afraid of losing the money than having Jesus Barabbas, a zealot who had sworn their death, free. It's money, power, greed. He was a king. That was written on ebony wood and plaster. I already told you about John the Baptist. This is the word Corban written on a stone. It's written backwards. If you read Hebrew, you can probably make it out, but I don't know if I should tell you all about the olives. Here, this is an interesting point. That's a pipeline that is carved. You fit the pieces together, and you bring water into the city. It was actually carved at the time of Jesus Christ, and it was funded by money from the temple. And when they put it together and brought water in, there were riots in the streets. People were so upset that they had done this. Why? Because they got fresh water? That was a good idea. It's a good thing to have fresh water. But where'd they get the money? They got it from the money that was set aside for Corbin, for their Social Security. They were pilfering the Social Security funds rather than have a separate fund just for the pipeline. And they were worried there wouldn't be any money left in their Social Security. And so they were rioting. And so Pontius Pilate sends a bunch of soldiers down dressed as civilians. And at a single signal, they pull out their clubs and they beat people until some of them died in order to restore order. And the fact is, Pilate actually regretted that later. But it's mentioned by Christ. But that's what he's talking about. Because your Social Security is supposed to be each other. Not a common treasury. You're the precious pearls and gold nuggets of the kingdom. You are to invest in each other and be bound by love for one another. And you could do it. Just like the Oregon disaster team. They're doing what, on almost nothing, they're doing what FEMA couldn't do. And the fact is that people, and I believe people are waking up. I believe they are waking up all over this country. They're just not hearing this message. Golden calf. What was a golden calf? Golden calf, they took their rings off. They pounded it out. They made this statue, and they put it in the middle of the deal. And according to painters, they danced around in skimpy outfits. According to Hollywood, they were really skimpy outfits. But there's a golden statue, and that's in a temple. What was that doing there? There's a golden statue that was in Athens. What was that? That's called, actually not Athens, but it's similar to what was in Athens. I didn't get a picture of the one that was in Athens, but the one in Athens was called the Reserve Fund. That's what they called it, the Reserve Fund. They actually sawed off pieces of it from time to time when they needed extra money. That's the bank. They didn't have a vault. So, you know, if they find somebody sawing the horn off the golden calf, he's robbing the bank. Now, why put all the money in the bank? You can't even spend it like that. Well, that's good. You can't spend it. But if you leave town, say Amalekites, Malachites are coming over the hill, and you say, oh my gosh, there's a lot of them, and they got all these sharp things, and I'm leaving out of here. You got your gold in your pocket and your silver in your pocket, and you're leaving. But you didn't have your gold in the pockets and the darn golden calf, and you're walking around with scarabs as money, useless paper, clay coins. So you have to stay to be loyal to the gold because that's your wealth. Moses said, no, don't bind yourselves together with central banks. Bind yourself together with love for one another. That's what you have to do. It's a little harder. It takes more time. You got to spend, you know, that temple at Ephesus. The apostles were accused of robbing the temple at Ephesus. Built by 127 different countries, sat over 20,000 people who were stockholders in the temple at Ephesus, minted coin, had that most secure vault in all of the Mediterranean, and was the underwriter for the system of Corbin for every single country in the Pax Romana. And the apostles were accused of robbing it? Were they in there breaking into the vault? They were pulling members away. It was going bankrupt anyway. They were actually, I'll tell you a lot more about it in some of the books, but the point is this was the World Bank. And the Christians were accused of robbing it. Now, who was becoming Christians? Well, there were poor people becoming Christians, but also the most industrious, self-starting, hardworking people were becoming Christians. And all the people living on welfare, there's 75% of the people in my county get a government check every month. Over 50% of the people in Oregon get a government check every month. So, anyway, there's another temple. You know what temple that is? Well, it's actually U.S. Treasury, I think. But that's a temple, too, the Federal Reserve. If you were why were Christians persecuted under Marcus Aurelius? Marcus Aurelius was considered the golden age of Rome, one of the best emperors in all of Rome. You read his Meditations of Marcus Aurelius, he sounds like a Presbyterian minister. Talks about responsibility and loyalty and all these wonderful traits. But he persecuted Christians more than any other emperor officially. More than Trajan, more than Hadrian. Actually, those guys said, leave the Christians alone. Why did he do it? He passed a law that you had to register your children at birth within 30 days. Christians would not register their children because where did you register them? At a government building called the Temple of Saturn. That's what these temples were. They were government buildings. That was the Bureau of Vital Statistics. Why did they want to register them? Well, they were borrowing money against them. But the other reason is because they wouldn't know when to give you benefits. They had to know how old you were. Who were your parents? Were you eligible for the benefits? I got more pamphlets out there. Called No Man Father would be a very interesting pamphlet. Do you read if you want to know more about that? All that's free on online. Jesus said, call no man on earth father, but my father. He said, pray to your father who art in heaven. At that time, anybody in that crowd knew exactly what he was talking about. Nobody in these crowds today knows what he's talking about because your ministers aren't telling you. If you address a senator of Rome, you addressed him Patri Cicero, Father Cicero. If you addressed the emperor, it was Patronus, our father who art in Rome. That's what they're talking about. Call no man father. You're not supposed to be getting your benefits and your daily bread from those guys. Those are the guys who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. They only give you what they take away from your neighbor. Didn't start that way, but that's the way it ended up. Augustus Caesar financed half the welfare in Rome out of his own personal pocket at first. Later on, it was time to contribute. That destroys society. People say, oh, welfare costs so much. These people are taking so much money on welfare. That's so terrible. I mean, it's costing me all this money in taxes. That's not the problem. The problem is it costs you in integrity. It costs you in your soul and in your spirit because you're not thinking about your neighbor as much as you're thinking about yourself. People say, how do I get out? Don't ask how you can get out. Ask how you can get your neighbor out. You can get your neighbor out by starting to love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, it's easy to sit in a pew and say, yeah, I love you. I love you. I love you. But don't call me tomorrow because I'm busy. Love is an action word. Faith is an action word. Belief is an action word. You can't do enough to earn salvation. That's a modius. That's a measurement of modius. It's actually a lot bigger than that. This is not to scale. It would hold about 30 pounds of wheat. At the time of Jesus Christ, it cost 6 denarii. They would be normally about the size of a dime. By Diocletian, it cost 120,000 denarii. I couldn't find a stack of coins that was 120,000. That's not nowhere near 120,000. It would cost you 120,000 denarii for the same sack of wheat. Why? No more silver in the denarii. They were more than clipping. They actually made iron coin. Yeah, and like ironclad coin that you have in your pocket. Yeah, well, sorry, not your pocket. People say, oh, silver and gold, we're going to cast that in the streets. Prophecy says we're going to cast all our silver and gold away. I said, you got silver and gold in your pocket? No. I says, I guess you threw yours away already. The Bible says just weights and measures. This is the result of not having just weights and measures. We don't even have clad coin in our pocket half the time. We have credit cards. Somebody asked me in, where was I? Omaha. And he said, what about capitalism? I said, well, we haven't capitalism in this country since 1913. They almost stood up and applauded. They were applauding. We have debtism. This country was the greatest country in the world, but it's been doing a lot of stuff that ain't so great. You're not going to turn it around overnight. Most of what you're going to learn during hard times, just like the Israelites in Egypt. It's an on-the-job training. But it's got to start somewhere. The longest journey starts with the first step. And that step should be towards the kingdom. That's the book, Higher Liberty. Any of these books, I bring them because people want hard copies of the books. But basically, you can download all these free on the net. You can download all the audios. I don't even know how many audios they have on the net by now. They're making me record this. That's probably going to end up on the net if I did it right. I never push the buttons right all the time. But they got about 25 buttons I got to push to do this. But higher liberty is in response to Romans 13. Let every man remain subject to the higher power. You look up the word exousia, even in the regular concordance, it means the right to choose. It's translated liberty in Corinthians. It's translated right in several other, but there they translate it power in Romans 13. That's okay. Look up the definitions of power. It's not electrical power. What kind of power is it? It's definition number 6 in an unabridged dictionary, the right to choose. If you look up, if you ask Aristotle, if you ask other philosophers of the time, people who spoke Koine Greek, what that word meant, they'll tell you it is the strongest word in the Greek language for liberty. It supersedes Eleutheria, which is the other word. It is, let's just put it in context. Let's put the word liberty there like it's in Corinthians. Let every man remain subject to the higher liberty. The word higher there actually means original. Let every man remain subject to the higher right to choose, the higher liberty, because all liberty is of God. There is no liberty but of God, and anyone who opposes liberty opposes God. That's what it says. The right to choose. Who gave you the right to choose? That you are endowed by your Creator with the right to choose. Unless you contract it away by making covenants. Or applying for benefits. Or accepting benefits. If we were doing what the church was doing in the first century, nobody would have applied to the government for benefits. Nobody would even look. They'd say, well, why do we want to join that program? We'd go to church. But suddenly church got distracted. Apathy comes from affluence. What was the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah? In a time of affluence, they did not strengthen the poor. In the time of affluence, we have weakened the Christian by saying it's okay to covet your neighbor's goods through the agency of government. This is kind of a hard message. You know, I've been in big, big churches, but I've never been in big, big churches twice.
What can you expound on how we are coveting our neighbor's goods? And that aspect of things?
Well, you know, recently we've seen, you know, with Obama, I don't want to pick on Obama. He's a victim of our sloth. He wouldn't even exist except for we haven't been doing what Christ said, what God said, what Moses said. And the fact is people, they've all seen it. You know, he's talking about these, you know, free health care and everything, and we call it redistribution of wealth. Yeah, he's not giving. He's giving my money away. I mean, we can. It's not a complicated mechanics. He's not taking money out of his pocket. He's taking money out of your pocket, and out of your neighbor's pocket, and your neighbor's pocket. And then he will give that to you. That's a sin by the Ten Commandments. Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." He didn't do away with the Ten Commandments. God hasn't changed, and evidently we haven't changed, because we keep doing it. That's Cecil B. DeMille's at the beginning of the movie Moses. I remember that when I was a little kid, and what did he say in that speech? He said, are men the property of the state, or are they free souls under God? This battle continues throughout the world today. This is not a new battle. We've just been asleep. If you look up the word employ in Clark's Summary of U.S. American Law, which you heard me mention earlier, you look it up in the index, it says, see master servant. All employee laws were laws in Rome to protect the slaves of Rome from people dumping them out on the streets when they were done with them. And of course, so they passed laws that you can't just dump him out. He's your slave. He's your responsibility. Yeah, you know, I told somebody earlier, it was you. I said, if before I'll hire anybody, my wife's got to give birth to him first. You know, that's because I'm not getting into that master-slave relationship where I mean, there's people going around saying I don't have to pay income tax because there's no law that says I have to pay income tax. They call it the 861 argument. Well, the fact is, there was another, Russo had a thing coming out. Remember do you remember what that was called?
Freedom to fascism.
And, you know, I love those guys because I love everybody, but the fact is they're wrong. You pay income tax because you signed up for Social Security. That's when wages and salaries became liable to income tax, when you signed up. And you signed up because you were a 14th Amendment citizen, and they gave you that opportunity of signing up. And so therefore, you have to pay a Social Security tax, which guarantees no benefits, and you have to pay income tax. And we go through it in Employee versus Enslaved. I got the pamphlet out there called No Man Father. I got the Employee versus Slave. And did you expect the Pharaoh to be nice? Okay. Okay.
No, I understand.
Okay. I agree. It's a catch-22, but the point is, what I'm saying is that they say only federal employees are liable for income tax. This is the conclusion by lawyers who go and study those statutes, and they're absolutely true. Only federal employees are liable for income tax. But how many people have a federal employee identification number? You got one. That's what it's called. And again, you read Call No Man Father, you actually have to start accepting benefits. And if you build the right network and you get the right people, you will have places to go to have birth to your child. My children were all born in hospitals.
No, I know.
It's a big problem. But the point is that it's about, you're a federal employee. My father, I asked him when I was 9 years old. This is one of the Kodak moments. I said, Dad, who do you work for? He said, until July 1st, I worked for the federal government.
Yeah. 6 months.
Because he was in a 50% income tax bracket. He says, until July 1st, I worked for the federal government. After that, I worked for myself. You work for McDonald's for the first 2-3 hours of the day, you're flipping them burgers for the federal government. Everything, every value of every ounce of sweat you give off will be gathered up by somebody with a federal employer identification number and sent to the federal government. You're in a Corby system of statutory labor. Welcome to Egypt. Welcome to Babylon. Welcome to Rome. Now, that's where you're at, but there's a solution. And that's to start seeking the kingdom. Seeking it. Not jumping into the kingdom, but seeking the kingdom. Start turning around. Start learning what it means to take care of yourselves as a free society. And it doesn't have to be big. It can be really little. The first job they did at Lowe's Hill was they helped somebody move. And they saved money by helping them move. And they had fun. And they got to know each other better. And they got to trust. Who showed up on moving day? That's your Minutemen. Who didn't show up? That's your wait a minute man. That's telling you who you can trust. Now you give them another chance, but you start building that trust and you start learning. You start looking in another direction to solve your problems. We got to do baby steps here. But you'll get your chance to run for it. But you got to run together. You got to learn how to stand alone as individuals together, bound together by an unbreakable bond of invisible love. Now, the legal aspects of creating a congregation of record, what we call a congregation of record, is just amazing. When we took this to the attorneys, I was telling this, didn't get this is rabbit trails. I talk in rabbit trails all the time, but I always come back. Rabbits go in circles. They always come back to the hole. And there I was talking, presenting the Free Church Report to these attorneys. And they had an extra attorney in there. Evidently, they'd been passing them around to all these other attorneys because they were so excited about the book. And the one attorney, I won't say who he is, he leaned over to me and he says, last week, we had 14 people in this office trying to figure out how to withdraw consent. And then you brought us this book, which is the Free Church Report. It's not about withdrawing consent. It's about getting the Egypt out of your own hearts. Preparing. You're in the unrighteous mammon. Mammon is the Aramaic word, unquestionably, for entrusted wealth. That's what mammon is. Federal Reserve created the largest trust in the history of the world. That's what Charles A. Lindbergh said it would do. And he left the country after they passed it because he said it was the end of America. Social Security Act added more to the trust. Your labor, your son's labor, your son's son's labor, your daughter's everything forever. Unless something changes things. Well, something's going to change because shift happens. This trust is the mammon, but it's unrighteous because it takes away from your neighbor to provide you with the benefits. It's done by force, not by free will offerings. It's legal, but it's not God's design. And so therefore, you will be made in a new image of a selfish people who care not for their neighbor and really don't care for God. But they will have a form of godliness in their churches, but they will deny the power thereof. And they will go into bondage, and in the day of reckoning, they will cry out to God, but he won't hear them. But you are hearing something, or you wouldn't have. I haven't seen anybody light a match yet. Set me on fire. There's a few serious faces around, but the fact is, you know, I have to say this. And all I'm doing is speaking to you. You will not find me forcing you to contribute to your neighbor's good.
How do you answer people who say, well, I've paid into this all these years. I deserve what I'm getting.
Okay. It's really simple. It's a Corban system. The Corban system is you cast your bread upon the waters. You take care of the widows and orphans and needy while you're working. You help out those people in your community that need help. And you give that help freely so that they will be taken care of. And you've all done that. You've all paid in to help those people out. And now your neighbor, your children, and your children's children should pay in to help you out. But are you going to force them at the point of a gun? Or are you going to allow them the opportunity to be charitable too? Now, I'm not telling anybody they can't collect Social Security. You did pay into it. Be friends with the unrighteous mammon. That's what he's talking about. Be friends with the unrighteous mammon. So that when it fails, not if it fails, when it fails, you will be more suitable for, or be suitable for more righteous habitations. Where's that righteous habitation? The kingdom of God, which is at hand. We were to preach it's at hand. We weren't to preach it's coming in 2,000 years. It's at hand. It's going to become greater and greater, just as Rome has become greater. Rome is only about an eighth of the world at that time. Now we're dealing with the similitude of Rome. You can read Rome versus Us. It's over there. Anybody can take one for free, and they'll tell you all about it. We talk about republics, democracies, kingdoms. Okay. Anybody recognize that painting? Capitol Dome. That's the painting in the Capitol Dome. It's called the Apotheos. Apotheos. When Caesar, that's George Washington right there. If you go on the U.S. government website talking about this painting, talking about the painting in the Capitol Dome, they tell you that this painting, quote, I'm quoting here, this painting raises Washington to the rank of God. That's what it says on the U.S. government website. I went back and checked it again and again, and it still says it there years later. When Caesar came into Rome, there was a civil war. He came into Rome. He was called the Savior of Rome. The Senate elected him imperator. You look in Collins' Latin Dictionary, imperator means commander-in-chief. He also asked for another office to be created that he could hold. Commander-in-chief is a 10-year term of office. You had to take oath of office. You had to be elected to it by the Electoral College of the Senate every 10 years. He was elected 3 times. The other office was Principas Civitas, first citizen, president of Rome. His wife is known as Principas Femina, first lady. That was the, as the chief executive officer, he was had many of the same duties as the executive officer of the United States. But he asked for a third office, apotheos. That translates in the Greek into originator of gods, appointer of gods. He wanted to be the appointer of gods throughout the empire. There's another guy who was an appointer of gods. All the gods were the magistrates, the judges in the imperial courts that decided imperial matters. You look it up in your Strong's Concordance, the word theos is defined as ruling judge, magistrates. It says magistrates. If you went into a Greek court, you would address the judge as theos. We're led to believe that when you say God, you mean God. There are gods many, Paul says. With the day, remember the day he got his hair cut on the tarmac and everybody complained about he holding up Air Force One to get his hair cut and it cost so much money to the taxpayers and everybody was all watching that on the news and going, oh my goodness, what a waster of tax money. He fired every judge in the United States and hired back the ones he wanted. That didn't get in the news, just the haircut. Isn't that amazing how that happens? When you see these ridiculous stories in the news, you better find out what's going on.
Are you basically saying that when you vote for a president, you're virtually voting for a new god?
It's the voice of the people picking.
Repeat what I said so I'm
okay. Here. This troublemaker down here has asked, are you saying that when you're voting for a different god? I didn't say that. Did I say that?
For a god.
You're voting for the appointer of gods, the appointer of judges. Look, this system is what it is. It is designed after Rome. But remember, God so loved the world. What world? Which word would they use in that phrase? Cosmos. He said he loved Rome. He loved the people of Rome, not the evil they did. He loved Cain, but he would not strive with them forever. He loved Rome. Rome was great. They were lawful. They were great people, but they were getting worse and worse and worse. They formed Rome originally 500 years before Christ after the pattern of Israel, which had gone into apostasy. They threw out the Tarquinian kings and formed a society based on faith, hope, and charity.
I'll show you how much he loved Rome. You know where it said he commanded them to go into all the world?
Right.
Now that word world is not cosmos.
Right. All inhabited places. From the Roman point of view, it would have been the Roman Empire. But in truth, from Jesus' point of view, it included the Teutons and all those others. Basically the Roman Empire, but they did go up to Ireland and stuff. Yeah. Not those particular apostles. There were actually missionaries coming from Ireland before Peter was supposedly to get to Rome because there were so many people in Jerusalem. They had heard about Jesus all over the Roman Empire. They had heard about Jesus. They were packing them in. This was the biggest event ever. Good thing they had the aqueduct built. But anyway, there's where the gods many. There's gods many. That's what it says. It says there are gods many. Then they actually refer to them as thinking they are gods. So, but they are gods if you elect them, if you choose them. And the president chooses them, or the Congress does and approves them. But anyway, that I'm not condemning the system. I'm saying if you go to this system, you will go to the ways of the corruption of Rome. Rome had no divorce, no orphans, no unemployment, almost no alcoholism. It had an all-volunteer army. It had just weights and measures. It had a people that had a sense of justice about everything they did, and they rose to power until, in a time of affluence, they began to weaken themselves and became corrupt and corrupt and corrupt and corrupt until you get to the Roman Empire that began 500 years after it was originally a republic. In Higher Liberty, I talk about Libera Res Publica. That's what Rome was called, free from things public. But Tacitus writes, by the time the emperors came, they referred to it as res publica, things public, because the liber res publica only lives in the imagination of men, which can never be. Well, it can be. It's called the kingdom of God, where men are free from things public because they are governing themselves in righteousness. It's not just seek the kingdom. It's seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. It is not righteous to desire your neighbor's wealth. I mean, it's stealing to take it. But if you desire it, you could coerce him into a contract where he has to give up his wealth for your benefit. You want those to be free will offerings. You're not creating the right kinds of bonds. Jesus says, ye also are gods. Is it not written that ye also are gods? How do they deal with that? He doesn't mean divine gods, although we're made in the image of God. That's a 12-man jury. 12 angry men, for those of you who haven't recognized it.
Yeah.
They decide fact and law. You go into these courts today, you don't get to decide fact and law. And I wish I had the book written on that. But anyway, we're going late. So everybody's brain is captured by ideas. Your mind is imprisoned by ideas, and I can't let you out, but I can rattle the bars. But if you want out, Christ is the key. He has the way to the door, and it has to be Christ in you. You can't live like I'm talking about. You can't be in that liber res publica unless Christ is in you. You have to have Christ in you. And Christ won't dwell in you unless you love what Christ was, what he was doing, what he was saying. You have to be willing to sacrifice yourself as Christ loved the church. I don't want anybody doing anything out of fear, but you know, I haven't been just writing about law and Bible and history. God had also showed me things about the sun many years ago, and Jesus said, look for signs in the sun. All this happened at the time of the Roman Empire. Tiberius saw auroras so bright you could read print at night in Rome by the light of the aurora alone. He thought the whole north woods was on fire and actually sent a legion up to help put the fires out. He didn't know what that aurora was, but Jesus said, look for signs in the sun, because Jesus knew what that was. It was the sun blowing off coronal mass ejections, EMPs like you have never seen before. And they can knock out all power. Now, if you're all living in tents, bunch of Indians, no big deal. If you're living in Vesuvius, it'll be a big deal because this also causes volcanic eruptions. It sends a huge amount of energy to the earth. We have magnetic shields that absorbs that energy, but then the energy passes into the poles and it protects us, but it heats up the core. And you see, there were three volcanoes went off at the same time that CME hit and triggered the volcano, the earthquake in Japan. There's a CME hit in Jupiter. There's an actual comet going by the sun. They're actually quite a ways away, and they cause a CME to go off when they come near, because comets are heavily charged bodies. If you ever go on the internet, go look up Thunderbolt. They'll tell you how the universe really works. Thunderbolt.com. I'm going real fast. CME hit Saturn, and that's the gases heating up as that energy enters into the center core. You can see up even up on the top. These were all back last solar max. Last solar max, every 11 years, is a solar max where there's a lot of this activity. It's been going on this way for a long time, but it's been steadily increasing over the last 50 years. Every other solar max, the outside planets are hit more often. Every other solar max, the interior planets are hit more often. It's our turn this time. Solar max is 2012, 2013, and there's a comet passing between us and the sun on October 17th of this year. It may cause some CMEs. I don't expect mega flares yet. I think we got a little bit more time, but we don't have any time to waste. Maybe we'll get through this solar max and nothing will happen, but look at the economy. Look at the moral state. I'm not interested in frightening you, but this country can't live without power. All kinds of things could happen. This was actually a picture of a volcano that went off back on October 17th, 1998, when that was happened to be Day of Atonement, and there's a long story around it. But I published an article that something was going to happen on that day, and we were hit by a CME that caused volcanoes to go off in Africa and Italy and all over the place. And that's when I realized that this direct connection between the earth and the sun. And there's other guys that have been doing that too. So basically, that's kind of it. You got more questions? I don't want to keep at it. We're probably running out of time here, but what? Go ahead.
October, you said there's comet. Is that LNN?
Yeah, LNN will be at 0.6 astronomical units between. I don't know that anything's going to happen. I'm just saying that creates a window. There are things, you know, full moons create a window for earthquakes. You're more likely to have an earthquake in a full moon because there's more stress, more likely to trigger events. You could have events triggered all kinds of ways. This was only an X1 class flare that hit that caused this earthquake, but there's several things going on here. The core is heating up. There's 24 volcanoes going off under the sea. All the fishes have been changing their routes for the last 15 years all over the ocean. There are shipping routes that have been altered because ocean areas in the ocean that didn't used to are now boiling on a regular basis. So there are changes shifting, happening all the time. They're not going to tell you about it on CNN. Government knows it. I have people that are high up in government. They're high up in emergency, have all the FEMA codes. And there's a huge deal this May. FEMA's got a huge exercise preparing for disaster. The problem is they're not going to handle it. And even if they could, they won't do a good job. People have to start coming together. What you'll see starts and stops. Things will happen and jerk you around. You could go show this stuff. I could show you videos of this and stuff and what's going to happen. It would scare a lot of people, but you don't want to be gathering with all kinds of people that jump to fear. We're not talking about fear. We're talking about loving one another. We're talking about every one of us becoming the faith emergency management auxiliary. And that's what all the churches should be. And there are people in every one of these churches that would get this. And they will wake up to it when they see the need. But right now, for some reason, some of you are waking up right now. You feel it in your hearts. You hear it in your souls. God's calling to you. Whatever God gives you, you have to act upon so that he will give you more. If you do nothing with the talent he gives you, he will take it away from you and give it to somebody else. If he awakens you to the fact that you need to do something, you need to do it. It's in spirit and truth. And for some reason or other, the apathy in the churches today, I'm saved. Jesus is coming. He's going to do it. He's going to come and find out you're not doing it. And he's going to say, get ye from me, you workers of iniquity. Because you haven't been loving your neighbor. You've been disregarding the commandments. You've been coveting your neighbor's goods to the agency of men who exercise authority. And I told you weren't to be that way. I told you to attend to the weightier matters of law, judgment, and mercy, and faith. Injustice is happening every day, and nobody's doing anything about it. We're expecting, well, we're going to complain about Obama because somebody's not doing anything about it. We're not doing anything about it. Why don't we take care of that guy? Why don't we get people together and go into his church and scold his pastor for not taking care of that family? And go into the church and just speak out. I had some guys that would just walk right in there, and they'd just blurt it right out. Tell them, you hypocrites. Jesus did that. You know, I mean, I don't want to pick it. I mean, they're ignorant. They don't know. But we have to get this message out in a very strong way. Well, and I'm really a nice guy. I'm not a bad guy.
Aren't the churches, the 501c churches, are really under the arm of the government anyway? So their hands are tied.
Well, their hands aren't complete. You can still be charitable. But 501c churches can't go around and say what I say. They are gagged. And that's another whole subject. Body of Christ versus body of state. Last chapter of the Covenants of the Gods will tell you why a church should not be seeking to be under 501c3. Why a church should not incorporate. Why a church should not file a 1023 and does not have to. It says on the form. Churches do not have to file this form. But every one of these churches out here did it. What is going on? It's a collective unconsciousness. You don't have to pay taxes anyway. You're automatically considered exempt even if you do not file the form. That's a direct quote out of 1828 of the IRS codes. you're automatically considered exempt. When I went to these attorneys, Herbert Titus, Bob Olson turns to me and says, I can't figure out why these churches aren't seeing this. It's right in the law. Churches are mandatorily accepted from having to file 508C1. Churches don't have to file. Why? Because the churches are another government, one form of government established by Jesus Christ. If you incorporate the law states, if you incorporate under the acts and laws of the state of whatever, all other previous incorporations are null and void as if they never happened. You are no longer the corpus of Christ. By law, you are the corpus of the state. That's what they say. They tell you that. It's in the law books. It's not a secret. I'm not revealing anything. I am revealing it, but only to those who haven't taken the time to listen and learn. And this is why they don't like me, because I will say this on the radio. I'll say it. You know, I'll scream it anywhere you want me to scream it. But they don't like it. I can't help it. Yeah, but the fact is I'm not saying disobey the law. I'm saying obey the law. Black's Law Dictionary, the church is a government. I have to have a government ID to fly, right? I don't have a Social Security number because they have excluded me because I organized the church in accordance with Christ. They have a law already on the books. If you know where to look, we tell you in the Free Church Report that I am excluded from Social Security. I cannot use a number. You cannot get a driver's license. You cannot get a business license. You cannot get a marriage license in the United States of America if you don't show a Social Security number for benefit purposes. I can't do it. I would be a violation of the law if I did it, a conflict of law because of their laws and the way in which we organized the church, and we wanted to make sure this was legal, so we went to the top legal minds in the United States and said, this is what we're doing, and they said it's legal, but they said, you're going to need ID. But the fact is we went and made ID. I have ID. I fly with it. All of us fly with it. I've never been searched. Never been searched. Fly into Washington, D.C. with church ID. They say, you have to have government ID. I said, that is government ID. You don't need to see our ID. We're not the ones you're looking for. Now, did everybody get that? Anybody not get that? It's Star Wars. You can go on your way. You know. But the fact is that this is a walk of faith. I can't guarantee that they're always going to recognize that. That's the only ID we can get. And it's verifiable online. It's based on higher standards than they use. All the guys that were supposedly in that plane flying into the buildings, they all had government ID. That wasn't the problem. They all had government ID. Title 42, Section 666 of the United States Code. That's it. I'm not kidding you. Section 666 of the United States Code says if you don't have a Social Security number, you can't get a license in any state for anything. It's a benefit. They have moved it to a benefit. And we presented this to them, and they said, that's right. We are not disobeying the law. We don't believe in that. We tell people, stop doing it. Don't disobey the law. But we are the ones that do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, because there is another king, one Jesus. He established a government. It's not the wholeness of the government. There's going to be more. It's an infinite journey. There's layers to the. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. You know, when Israel was freed from Egypt, they were Israel, but they weren't in the promised land yet. They had more to learn. Then when they're in the promised land, they were supposed to learn more. And they actually been forgetting what they learned. And there's no end to the levels of the kingdom of God. And we should be healing people left and right. We've seen instantaneous healings. But it's not us. God's showing us that if we walk in this way, these things and greater things than these we should do, and you will need those powers again. Why don't we have those powers anymore? I remember Thomas Aquinas came in and saw the Pope counting gold coins. And the Pope says, no longer can the church say, silver and gold have I none. And Thomas's response was, no longer either can the church say, arise and walk. The church has lost sight of its mission. It has been seduced away by the seducer of seducers to do something contrary to the King, Jesus. They said it's okay to covet your neighbor's goods. It's okay to take away the liberty of your neighbor. At Romans 13, that's what they always come back. But Romans 13 says to obey the government. It says, remain subject to the higher original power. Original power all came from God. God did not endow government with the power to be the government. You did. By making covenants. What was it? Thou shalt make no covenants with them nor with their gods. They're not talking statues. They're talking judges, rulers, who can exercise authority one over the other. Because it is not to be that way with you if you are to be the children of God. You can't be the children of God and the children of gods at the same time. That's one thing. You can only have one father. Now, it's up to you. Figure out where you want to go, which direction you want to go, and if you want to go where we're going, we'll do everything we can to help you. I mean, there's a lot to it. I mean, the government understands what the church is better than the church. The best definition for the church I've seen anywhere is in the Law Blacks Dictionary. That's terrible. How come they know it better than we do? That we're supposed to be propagating his doctrines of loving one another, not taking from one another by somebody who can exercise authority. We were building a clinic out there in north of us, and I was freely giving my time, drawing the plans, helping them lay out everything. And then somebody came in and said, you know, of course, we have to put this on the tax rolls. And I said, you put this on the tax rolls, and I'm going out of here. And he says, why is that? It has to be. How are we going to get the money? And he says, we could get the money by free will offerings, or you could get a gun and force people to give you the money. He says, well, I wouldn't do that. I says, well, what do you think the government's going to do? They're not going to go out and say, would you give us some money for the clinic? You're going to pay them, or they're going to take your house away. They're going to take widows' houses. How many widows do you think lose their home every year in the United States? You got any idea? You know about inheritance tax? Nothing robs the widows and orphans more than inheritance tax. How many women have had to sell their homes to pay inheritance tax?
Or IRS.
Yeah. Property tax is usury. Early American, Ethan Allen and the Green Mountain Boys, they were establishing 10-year title in land. This is what the pilgrims came here, to own land that could not be taxed. To own that land in the lodial, fee simple title that could not be taxed. Only 30% of Americans did that. But those are the ones who were fighting the American Revolution. 50,000 Americans joined the British. It was only the people that were struggling to actually own land so that they would own the milk and honey of that land. Legal title. It goes to this in Law versus Legal, one of the chapters of Covenants of the Gods. Legal title. This is a direct quote. Legal title is an apparent title that carries with it no beneficial interest. You pay $150,000, $200,000, $300,000 for your home. You got legal title. You don't own the beneficial interest of that home. It doesn't include it. Beneficial interest, define the right to use the property. You bought it, but you don't have the right to use it. You want to use it, you got to pay the use tax. You stop paying the use tax for 2-3 years, depending on what state you're in, they're going to take the whole property away from you because you didn't pay rent.
It's called sort of like eminent domain.
Well, they don't even need eminent domain. They can enforce eminent domain on you, too. They're just regulating their property. The definition of legal title goes on to an antithesis of equitable title. And you look up equitable title, the one who the law considers to be the true owner of the property, and it goes on to say that all property held legally in the United States is by government suffrage. You are not in the promised land. You don't have the right to the milk and honey, and we got to come to an end. Okay.